previously on Compassion Radio.
I think there are going to be some tragic stories that come out of this whole episode. And yet, I think it's important to remember that this is not the end. This is the beginning of something that can be a great progress and a great impact on the people, depending on what we do.
Hello, and welcome back to a special report from the front lines. Compassion Radio has always been a forward-looking ministry, and we partner with those who engage the world as it really is, but in God's power to see Him transform the situation into something hopeful, just, and eternal. Our guest for the series has been Dr. James Jennings, president of Conscience International, one of the most intrepid crisis response organizations that I've ever seen. And together with Jim, I've been able to see plenty in the past few years. From war zones to refugee camps in Central Africa, the Middle East, and the islands of the Mediterranean, Dr. Jennings and his teams have given us behind-the-scenes access to how faith and compassion can break down the toughest walls and heal the hardest hearts. On yesterday's broadcast, we noted that some of the people that served alongside us in our Afghanistan work had reached out for help in evacuating the country this week. Not because they wanted to leave, but simply because they faced reprisals and even death at the hands of the Taliban. I'm relieved to report that through the contacts we have in country and the assistance of U.S. government officials, two of those amazing men have been evacuated to a safe country. And for that, we are extremely grateful. We also mourn that they had to leave behind family and loved ones who are still in danger, so we ask you to please pray for that ongoing challenge. Today, Dr. Jennings and I will pivot to that other major event that was almost ignored in the wake of news from Asia. At the same time this was all happening, Haiti was suffering its second major earthquake in just over a decade, and they're reeling from it right now. Conscience International is on the ground there, beginning their life-giving work as this program goes to broadcast. You'll hear much more about that today. We're back today with Jim Jennings of Conscience International, and we talked yesterday. Really was a heart-wrenching conversation for me because we're talking about something that is dear to our hearts, and people don't always understand it when we say it. We have a big soft spot in our hearts for the people of Afghanistan, and most of what the mainstream media has been kind of pumping to the West has been how dangerous they are, every last one of them, like they're born and bred to be terrorists. It's not the truth. It never has been. But we wouldn't know it because we're not going there to actually meet people and sit down and have the tea with them, eat with them, hear how the Taliban and then the government would be grifting them left and right, morning and night. They'd be getting something, be tormenting them constantly. We saw that as organizations. And it's understandable why there would be so little hope left for the people of Afghanistan. The same kind of things were happening just south of our border there in Haiti for many, many years, people being oppressed by everybody. International organizations would give up on them because there was so much graft and the governments would never really get honest. And then 2010 happens and the earthquake just destroys that country. And now it's happened again. And Jim, you're there right now doing something. So tell me what's happening right now in the country of Haiti.
Right now, the scramble is to get aid out into that Tiburon Peninsula, which is the southern peninsula. Haiti is in the shape of a C, and the Port-au-Prince is right in the center, in the middle of it. And the lower peninsula, called Tiburon Peninsula, is extending out to the west. The city of Le Cayes was about halfway out on the coast there, and it's 80 miles from Port-au-Prince, the capital. But that 80 miles takes 5 hours to drive it. You wouldn't think so.
Even on a good day.
Because we have superhighways. But those highways are covered with people walking, with people doing business along the sides, and with traffic congestion. And then they've had a landslide because of the tropical rains and the earthquake. And now the storm is coming, and sometimes the bridges are washed out. So it takes a long time to get there. Plus, it's very dangerous. Since the President Moïse was assassinated a couple of months ago, I think now, the gangs have taken over that roadway. So the only way to get to the project area where the disaster happened, there were many earthquakes, but the main one was 7.2, which was much stronger than the one that killed 225,000 people in 2010. But there weren't as many people in this remote area.
It's kind of unfathomable, but it really is true. It's an even more powerful earthquake than the one that killed 250,000 people.
Yeah, and that is staggering to think about. So the devastation is significant, and it's going to take months and years to recover from that. So right now, the search and rescue has been pretty much given up. It struck on Friday the 13th of August, 2021, and getting there has been the problem. So the local teams, the people who are there, are working hard to dig out if they can find a person alive, which is unlikely at this point. There's one hotel that smashed, and a lot of people died in it. They haven't really uncovered it yet. But our team is ready. Within hours after the earthquake struck, our team started getting the vehicles ready, going out to buy the relief supplies that we could take out there, which includes food and water primarily, and water purifiers and medical assistance, tarpaulins for shelter from the rain, because they're going to be just sitting in the mud and in the ruins. With rain coming down in torrential gusts, and that is going to play out over the next coming days. So yeah. Our team is ready to launch. We've been ready within a couple of hours after it struck. We started our work, and now this week we're going to reach that area. And we're going to have to camp out in a compound there, which for security it has to be in a compound. And we're buying tents to be able to stay there. So the last time that the earthquake struck in 2010, we were there when there were aftershocks. It was very dangerous to be in a building during the aftershocks. And we ended up building some temporary shelters, doing a lot of medical field hospitals and camps, treating people for all kinds of wounds. And then we shifted over to do the shelter program, and we built 189 complete houses, permanent awesome. Homes for people all over that area.
It's hard to imagine how that would even make a dent in how many people lost their lives or lost their livelihoods and homes, but everything matters. And the amount of work you did with the amount of people you had, the amount of materials that you had available to you, it's pretty amazing you got as far as you did. And now you're getting a chance to repeat that history in a good way because you have experience now. And your skill set has grown over time, and you know what to do with what you got.
Well, we sent about 1,000 people from 125 churches from 10 states, and that was enabled us to do it. And so, thankfully, the spirit of volunteerism is alive and well in the United States of America, particularly among young people, mm-hmm. and that's something we ought to celebrate. Actually, right now, it's a bit too dangerous for somebody who doesn't know the language or the ropes to speak Creole or French in that area and to be able to work with the experienced team that we have down there, the natives. But from Florida, we're sending our project director, and we'll give you reports about that as time goes on.
Yeah, it'll be good to hear. As soon as communication gets restored a bit, we'll get the best we can as quickly as we can out from the field, because I know our people are going to want to hear about the good things, how God has used his people to step into the worst of circumstances and bring light to darkness, sometimes literally bringing light, and bringing water to those who are thirsty and food to those who are hungry. I mean, this is biblical stuff here. I mean, it's the very basics of understanding what God intended for mankind to really be, wearing his skin, wearing his shoes, and going to the places he wants us to be. So you're doing that. So tell me, Jim, about your people. I want you to praise them like you are so keen to do, because they have given their lives in so many ways to be available to the thing that so few people are willing to do. But you found them, and you are very proud of them. So let's talk about your teams.
Well, for 5 years, Jeremy Holloman, who's a construction expert, handled all of our teams coming into Haiti, set up a compound, bought vehicles, and was able to lead the development of rubble houses, making new houses out of the rubble. I was there helping him to design that initially, and we went through several phases, and then eventually he organized the teams. We had a compound for them. We built 189 permanent houses out of rubble, and that That technique of construction has been copied all over the world for earthquake zones since that time. And they have stood very well under this current earthquake. That's the first phase, which ended about 2016. But our director for Haiti right now is Kenny Phillips. And I call him a surfer dude because he's a tall, lanky, suntan man who lives in Florida and wears a ponytail. He's also a construction expert, worked in Haiti for 15 years. And he is like our Crocodile Dundee, only he's a little taller. And Kenny Phillips is just such a passion for helping these people. One of the things he did was to take the dresses that had been sewn by ladies groups in various churches. The ladies had sewing circles, and they would make dresses for the girls in Haiti. And he took them down there and gave them to two villages came out. We gave shirts to the boys and dresses to the girls. And I'll tell you, they had never owned a dress like that in their lives, and they were so proud to have new clothing, and to see a picture of all of them was really one of the high points for me. So Kenny did all that, and he can do most anything, the construction, the leadership in this this particular disaster response, which is very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
And I trust him to do it. So he is wonderful and doing great. Well, that covers that area for the Caribbean, at least.
Now, again, this is not adventure Christian tourism things where we go and give out our surplus. These people are coming up with new innovative ways to deal with major crises that no one has come up with before. Like the whole idea of actually creating suitable structures out of debris and recycling on the spot is something that is like a no-brainer when you think about it now, but it was a new idea then. And you're not just going there to do it for the people that are there. You are not just teaching people. You are listening to the people in their culture, in their situation, saying, this is how it would work for us, and this is how we can make it happen again and reproduce things that are positive. I've always appreciated that there's been an ethic with Conscious International to be not just pitying of those who suffer, but entering into it with them and constructively working together with them to find a way out. And so the people that are graduates, you might call it, of the experience with Conscious International are empowered people. They're not just learning how to do things a Western way. They're putting their mark on their culture in a positive, Christ-centered way that stuns me. I mean, I watched Jeremy, the guy you just talked about, who had all that experience in Haiti, do that in Greece a few years ago when you and I walked through the Moria refugee camp, which was overrun with too many people. And yet there was peace in that camp because of the way he had a vision for how people could serve each other. And that blew my mind. God's anointing was upon him and the people he was working with in his teams. It just worked. And I do believe that when that anointing comes on your teams, Jim, that stuff happens that is on the spiritual level as much as it is on the physical level.
Well, Jeremy is a gifted person, and we're so pleased to have had his efforts there and in Greece for several years, where he was dealing with the most daunting refugee crisis since the barbarian invasion of Europe in the 4th century A.D. That was huge and still going on, but he encountered many difficulties there.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. There's a lot more coming up, so please stay with us.
Hi, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build kingdom around the world. This year, we had the great privilege of celebrating our 78th anniversary in broadcast ministry. It's hard to believe that we've been on the air for almost 80 years. And in that time, of course, we've seen tremendous changes in the world. For most of that time, 74 years in fact, this ministry was in the steady hands of two solid men of God. Both amazing Bible teachers, visionaries, and committed to seeing a redemptive worldview truly transform the world. Both Wilbur and Norm Nelson stretched their faith and the faith of their listening partners by urging them to not just listen, but to act on their faith. They inspired people just like you to take seriously God's call to build His kingdom around the world and to do it in ways proven to make a lasting difference. When no one else would go after the Korean War, Wilbur and Norm built orphanages and schools in Korea and Hong Kong, making it possible for generations of kids to experience the true gospel and, over time, transform their countries. Later, Norm and Cher set off on some great adventures to see how far the gospel could really go, bringing Bibles to the underground church in China and Vietnam. They brought food and medical supplies into North Korea during one of their worst famines. They brought Christmas to school children in Afghanistan after the first Taliban defeat. They visited refugee camps in dozens of countries and helped supply the amazing Christians, keeping bodies and hope alive. And in the process, living out the true religion that James talks about in his epistle. Friends, today we remain true to that vision, even at a time when COVID has shut down so many avenues we would normally use to gather stories and supply our kingdom family. We are prayerfully pursuing new opportunities to be the hands and feet of Jesus. It means some amazing new partnerships and projects, which we're working on right now. In the months to come, we'll tell you all about the new chapter that God's opening for us, and I very much look forward to sharing it. In the meantime, I'm going to ask you to earnestly and prayerfully consider what you can do right now to keep Compassion Radio viable and equipped to seize these new opportunities and to face the new challenges they present. So many ministries right now are holding back, waiting to see what the world will do, how the economy will respond, and how God will move. Though I understand the reasoning, I simply cannot believe that God would have us sit back and wait out the storm before acting in faith. Our God is a God in the storm, and the world needs us now. As Compassion Radio, we're building out the plan as fast as we prudently can, and we're trusting that God will provide for the operational needs of this ministry through you as we do it. As Wilbur Nelson put it decades ago, when there's a need, seek God and tell His people. We're doing both. If you've never supported this ministry before, I'm asking you to do what you can today to make sure that we can get through 2021 with you and on to the kingdom things He has for us in the days to come. If you have supported us in the past, please hear me when I say you are deeply appreciated and honored in our prayers each and every day. Thank you for what you have done and what you will do to keep Compassion Radio on the air and in the arena. Please, don't hesitate to give us a call or drop us a line today. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. Again, that's 1-800-868-2478. Our website is also available 24/7 to make your gift online. It's also the best way to catch up on any episodes you've missed. You can even share programs with your friends and family. To send your gift by mail, you can use the following address: Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you for your partnership with Compassion Radio. We look forward to hearing from you today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
But I want to say something more about Haiti. Haiti is the most obviously Christian nation I have ever seen or been in, and I've been in 100 countries.
Yeah.
On Sunday, there are many churches, and on Sunday you will see all kinds of men with suits and ties and women in their nice dress carrying their Bibles on the street walking to church. It's a very obviously Christian country in that sense. But there is also some of the darkest kind of I don't know if you would call it, but the voodoo religion, mm-hmm. which is basically a primitive paganism, that has a very strong grip on many of the people as well.
Yeah.
So if you want to know of a country where the light and the darkness are in conflict, where there's a fight for the souls of people, where the church is called on to do miraculous things that we can't even imagine here in our country, I would say it's Haiti. And the struggle is played out on the political realm and also on the streets. And so this is a challenging moment for Haiti and the history of Haiti, and it's a challenging moment for Americans. How will we respond?
Yeah. And how will we readjust our moral compass at a time when there's a whole lot of navel-gazing going on in America? We're consumed with our own arguments about how we serve our neighbors. Do we mask up? Do we get vaccines? Or do we, you know, assert our independence and somehow that our rights will prevail and preserve our country? that argument seems to be raging. It's taking a lot of steam out of our engines, I'm afraid, because I do believe that God wants us to refocus to the places where he wants us to be available to him, because he knows it'll make the most good happen, not just for those who are suffering out there, but for those of us who have been suffering a deprivation of kindness and Christ-centeredness. You know, there's nothing like a crisis to draw out of us what's really there, good and or bad. And I'm hoping...
There is a recipe for changing all that. It starts with each of us taking the first step. And that means that we act in a humane way to our neighbor, and we extend that love to people all around the world.
Yeah.
And that's what Conscience International tries to do.
And I do want to jumpstart that kind of ethic in our own country of people, especially people of faith, but not always just of faith, people that want to be involved with something that is bigger than themselves and be a positive influence for today and for tomorrow. You've managed to bring people who would never talk to each other into the same room and come to common cause. And I do believe that's because the gospel is very much alive in you, and it's a big tent. You don't exclude people. You are there to serve, period. And I believe that God has honored that. And it's also attracted to you a lot of Christian people that really want to be that kind of person. They don't want to be insular. They don't want to be against things or against people or whatever. They want to be Christ to the people and for the people. I believe in that calling. I believe that's the real Christian core. And for those of us who have that faith in Jesus and want to experience him, there is no better way than to step up and say, "Here I am, Lord, send me," wherever that means, whether it means going across town to be kind to somebody you've never met before, or whether it means actually packing up and joining a team to go across the world because your skill set is needed right now. Whatever it is, I believe that that's where God is happiest with us and we're happiest in him. And you've inspired a lot of that in churches across the world over the years, Jim. I thank you for that.
Well, if you exemplify the kind of good news that the New Testament talks about, it makes a difference. It shakes people that you meet to their core because they understand they have come in contact with something dynamic, and it actually is what Jesus talked about. The kingdom of God is the rule of God right now, here and now.
Yeah.
And to honor that, it enables you to go safely in dangerous places, but it also enables you to leave a trail and to leave a mark.
Yeah, and to live dangerously in places that seem safe. We do want to be, and you put this very well before when you talked about this, when people ask you whether you're a certain kind of political persuasion or not, you say, you're not any of these things. You're a radical because you follow Jesus. And Jesus has taken you places that many Christians of any stripe would never have gone, but Jesus would. So when it comes down to it, you've always chosen Jesus, and I appreciate that about you the most. And that makes you also able to walk into places where Jesus is honored and preached, but maybe not as experienced as he could be. And because of your story, the stories of the people that God has been touching through you over the years, it's been transformative to many people in the faith to say, we can not just do more, we can be more. We can experience God in ways that we never thought we could, by entering in, allowing him to lead us now.
Well, this kind of ministry is vital, and it works.
Yeah.
And so I urge people to follow their conscience, and that's why we have the name Conscience International. If you hear that still small voice, listen to it. You'd be surprised how far it will take you.
Yeah, amen to that. I know it's a bumper sticker phrase for you, but it's absolutely at the core of how you teach people and how you lead them. You are able to, in strange situations, in places that people would be very upset, you're able to calm down and listen for that still small voice. And it has. I've seen it in your life. It has led you to places that you never would have gone had you decided it yourself, but God brought you there. And you've seen beautiful things happen because of it. Jim Jennings of Conscience International, active now in active work in Afghanistan and in Haiti at some of the worst times in their recent history. I'm glad that you've been able to share a little bit. I mean, it's just a taste of what you've been doing in the work of reaching people through compassionate action, helping people of conscience engage the biggest struggles of our time. Thank you for sharing some of your stories with us on Compassion Radio.
Well, Bram, I'm thankful for your leadership. Thank you very much.
Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. Now, there's a couple of ways you can get a hold of us. You can call us right now at 800-868-2478, or you can go to CompassionRadio.com, and when you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478, or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd really like to make your giving super easy, you can just text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION, COMPASSION, to 53445. And last but certainly not least, if you want to go old school and mail us your tax-deductible donation, great. Just send it to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks a lot. And thanks for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We are so very thankful for you. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.